French couple, and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married. Gee, I really love you, and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel of love.
There was plenty of comic relief at the home of Jane Hamilton and Joy Masahara on Thursday after the Supreme Court of British Columbia wrapped up a 9-day hearing on the issue of same-gender marriage. 8 couples are challenging a federal common law, which the government claims defines marriage solely as a heterosexual union. Last Wednesday, lawyer Cynthia Peterson began her arguments on behalf of 5 of the couples, as well as Canada's national queer rights lobby group AGAL, by urging the court to simply declare that Canada has no law against same-sex marriage. It is true that Canada has no written law barring such marriages, and the current refusal to recognize them is based on a 19th-century British court ruling on the issue of polygamy, which stated that a Christian marriage was a marriage between one man and one woman for life to the exclusion of all others. Peterson says, among other things, that courts have been wrong to consider the judge's ruling on the issue of polygamy to be authoritative on the issue of same-sex marriage. Peterson went on to argue that if the judge did believe there was a common law against same-sex marriage, he nonetheless had the power to change it and should. In part, she argued, the law should be changed because it violates Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which bans discrimination based on sexual orientation. Peterson's arguments were followed up by those of lawyers Barbara Findlay and Kathleen Leahy, who represent the other 3 couples in the case. They added that the law barring same-sex marriage also offends other sections of the Canadian Constitution, including those which bar sex discrimination and guarantee freedoms of life, liberty, and security of the person and mobility rights. This week in court, the lawyer for the Canadian government made her case against same-sex marriage, followed by 2 religious interveners, the BC Coalition for Marriage and the Family and the Interfaith Coalition for Marriage. Speaking for the Attorney General for Canada, lawyer Judith Bowers argued that the institution of marriage as a union of a man and a woman is unique in society and therefore should withstand constitutional challenge.
We say that when you're looking at societal building blocks, for a long time the idea of marriage and the family in the traditional sense has been the basis of society. The way we defend it is simply by leading the types of evidence that we did in this case, and that is evidence from historians, from sociologists, from anthropologists, from linguists, from legal scholars, giving their analyses and their opinions with regard to what the institution of marriage means and or how it is a fundamental aspect of our civilization and society.
But assuming that all of these things are true, how can you nonetheless say that it's not an institution that can be extended to same-sex couples when you consider that the interpretation of laws and of the Charter of Rights has to expand and grow over time with changing attitudes in society?
Well, of course, everything changes and attitudes change. But as far as your question, I'm going to duck it because I think that's the issue before this court.
The Attorney General
John Fisher of Canada's National Queer Rights Lobby Group, AGAL, comments on the performance of the Attorney General's lawyer in court.
What was the government interest in excluding same-sex couples from the institution of marriage? And she had nothing to point to. She kept reiterating that marriage is a heterosexual institution without saying why it's necessary to exclude us or without acknowledging the circularity of saying that gays and lesbians aren't heterosexual, therefore marriage is can't be for gays and lesbians. And I don't find that particularly persuasive. I hope the judge doesn't. She was asked several times what would be the negative consequences of letting us marry. And her response to that was, well, no negative consequences have been identified, but there's the potential for negative consequences. And the judge responded and said, well, you know, what are they? And she said, well, that's for the court to decide, which is, you know, a clever answer, but not ultimately persuasive, I didn't think. For me, one of the the memorable moments of the hearing was when she described heterosexual procreation as the historical purpose of marriage rather than the historical purpose. And, of course, we all rolled with the laughter, and the judge acknowledged that many people would probably agree with her that this was a historical purpose.
Cindy Silver is one of the lawyers for the BC Coalition for Marriage and the Family. The coalition was in court advocating that same-sex couples be given all the same rights and responsibilities of marriage under a different regime, such as a domestic partnership, without actually being included in the definition of marriage itself. While the couples in the case argue that such a regime would be like the so-called separate but equal regime struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court regarding racially segregated schools, Silver says such a regime would be justified in this case.
What the petitioners have asked for is not just benefits and rights, but a social status, that the court require people to accept them as morally and socially equal. And for some people, that is adverse to their rights to belief, or even if it's not based on faith, but to conscience beliefs. And that's where you come up with the collision of liberties in the case.
They argue, for example,
lawyer Cynthia Peterson explained some of AGAL's responses to the BC Coalition, which were presented in court following their submissions.
We have a number of responses to their arguments. I mean, we say, for example, that there's no infringement on the freedom of religion. AGAL or none of the petitioners in this case are demanding that the Catholic Church or that an Orthodox synagogue or a mosque or any religious body that opposes same-sex marriage, we're not demanding that they solemnize same-sex marriages. We're just saying we want the right to have the law recognize same-sex marriages, and we'll go to places that welcome us to get married, or maybe we'll just go down to Civil Hall if we want to get married. City Hall, pardon me. So nobody is trying to coerce the Catholic Church into marrying same-sex couples, so we don't see an infringement on freedom of religion there.
The court hearing wrapped up Thursday afternoon and was followed by a party at the home of one of the couples in the case, where a number of people shared their thoughts on how the hearing went. The first is David Short, one half of one of the couples in the case. The second is John Fisher, the executive director of Canada's national gay rights lobby group, AGAL.
It was kind of an emotional roller coaster, really. There were moments where it was dry legal argument from my, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so some of the time I didn't know what they were talking about. And then there were moments that really touched me, and today was one of those days. When Barbara finished her argument, she talked about how this is about all gay people, not just about the people involved in the case. And it really touched me personally. I felt like my voice had been heard. So there were some powerful moments.
What did you think, John?
We've won this case already on the issue of the application of the constitutional principle to same-sex relationships. There are previous cases from the Supreme Court that are directly on point that say definitions of spouse which exclude us cannot be justified. The arguments that have been raised by the government, by the interveners, are the same old arguments we've heard for years. There was nothing new here. They used to come to court and say spouse is inherently heterosexual, it involves procreation, heterosexual units need to be maintained in society or else chaos will follow. They said all the same things in this hearing, except they just substituted the word marriage for the word spouse. Yet while we've won, I think, on the legal principles previously, there is something about the institution of marriage which still strikes at the hearts and minds of some heterosexuals as something which is just a big social institution that can't be changed. Obviously, the scale of the issue is not relevant for constitutional or legal purposes. Nonetheless, I think that the interveners against us were successful in creating concerns within the judge about what he's being asked to do, and that creates concerns with us, that he may be influenced by that and find against us.
What do you sense that he would find against us on?
How he might find against us, I mean, beats me. To win a constitutional challenge, you have to overcome several hurdles. You have to show it's discrimination, you have to show that it can't be justified, or the government has to show it can't be justified, and you have to get the remedy that you're seeking. I really think the law is easy. This is not a hard case. Heterosexuals can get married, gays and lesbians can't. Is this discrimination? Well, yes, of course it is. Is there a government justification for it? Well, none was identified. Judith Bowers for the government was quite blunt in saying to the court, I can't identify a reason why same-sex couples should be excluded. She just said something bad might happen and it might be big and that's a worry. Literally, that was it. So on legal principles, I can't see any basis on which we can lose. And these cases aren't won and lost on legal principles, unfortunately. They're won and lost on how comfortable a judge is with changing what is perceived to be a fundamental social institution. He is still a judge who I think places a lot of value on intellectual rigor and on the integrity of the analysis. And we have very good written submissions and authorities that when he sits down and reads through, I think there is a good chance he'll realize there is no merit in the opposition point of view. So we are still somewhat hopeful that he will find enough favor, and that remains to be seen.
The judge in the case has stated that he hopes to have a decision within 90 days. Whatever he decides, the ruling will certainly be appealed all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada, a process which will take at least 5 years. Meanwhile, lawyer Cynthia Peterson is back home in Ontario, preparing for a November hearing on same-sex marriage cases filed in that province. For This Way Out, I'm Heather Kitching in Vancouver.